Let me pray and we'll get started. God, we're so incredibly thankful for you. God, you are our perfect heavenly Father. And as we celebrate dads today, as we think about our earthly dad, good or bad, we're thankful. We're thankful for being where we are today. And God, that you are our example. And God, if we would put you first and we would follow you, we understand that great things happen. And so, God, as we open your word, as we look at these passages today and we talk about church in general. First, God, we're so incredibly thankful that we have the freedom to be able to come in and to worship you, to celebrate you. And God, that we understand love because you first loved us. And God, I pray that these words and this message would resonate with us today, and that we would look at the church and understand that we're called to be a part of one, whether it's here or somewhere else. But God, each one of us created by you on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. And you've gifted us, those of us who are followers of your son, Jesus Christ, to encourage and to build each other up. And I pray, God, that that's what you do this morning by transforming and renewing our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is eventually where we're going to get to. I got a bunch of different scriptures to go through because I have a bunch of different random thoughts in my head today. We're starting a brand new series this week called I Love Central. And I'm super excited about today's message because we're going to start out talking about food. And if you know anything about me, even if you don't know anything about me, you can be 1,000% certain that I will never steer you wrong in two things. What are they? Food and theology. If you didn't know that, now you know. Because those are the only two things I know. Like, I don't know anything about anything else. I know a lot about food and a lot about theology. Like, that's it. And so today, we're going to talk about nachos in church. And when we're done, you get to go out and enjoy the nacho bar. It's going to be great. It's awesome. Here's what's interesting. I've been working on this message for a while. I've just been waiting for the right time to use it. I'm still, after preaching it twice, not certain that Father's Day is the best day, but it's what we're running with today. I did have a different message for Father's Day, and it was going to be a really good message where, dads, I was going to encourage you to go out and lead your families well and take on the world, not the typical Father's Day message that churches get about, hey, you suck, do more, try harder, come back next week. It wasn't one of those messages. I haven't preached in 4 weeks, which is the longest gap that I have ever taken. And we've had some good messages the past 4 weeks. And I'm super thankful for the guys that stepped in and filled in for me while I dealt with some family matters. I mean, and I know that some of them were short, and like Nick preached for 20 minutes. And so what I'm doing this morning is I'm taking all of their extra time and I'm adding it to my time. So you guys will be out here at 2:00. It's the longest gap I've ever had, and you think it would have been like really relaxing and I would have got some stuff done, but with softball and everything else going on, it was like the most stressful time that I've probably had in years. But during that time, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people and look at a lot of things that are going on here at Central Church. And so today isn't so much a sermon as it is a vision challenge. Like, I'm going to challenge you on the vision of Central. So today, as we kick off this I Love Central series, I want you to evaluate whether this is your church or not. When we changed the name of the church and we made it just straight Central Church, we grabbed the website yourcentralchurch.com because we always wanted you to identify that way, that this is your church. It's not Ryan's church. It's not leadership's church. And it's ultimately Jesus' church. Yes, I get that. I understand that. But we want this to be your church. We want you to be able to say, hey, I love my church. I'm passionate about it. Like, it's my home. It's where I'm committed. It's the part of the body I belong to and where I serve. And see, every once in a while, for me, people ask me, hey, where does the inspiration, the motivation for your sermons come from? Like, where do you get your sermon ideas? Now, I know the answer that you're looking for when you ask me that. Like, I know what I'm supposed to say. I'm supposed to say the Bible or God, which ultimately, yes, amen, hallelujah, all that, that's correct. but I approach every message like a piece of art. Because an artist, like an artist, where they get their inspiration from, and an artist gets inspiration from all sorts of things. And so it's the same with me. When I look at a sermon, when I approach a sermon, I approach it like a piece of art. So sometimes I get my inspiration from listening to music. And no, it is not hardly ever Christian music. I listen to all kinds of music. Right now, my playlist, full of Eminem. Man, that new Eminem song, Houdini, whoo! I don't know if you heard it or not, but if you listen, you got to watch that with the video. It's absolutely incredible. And let me just say this, because you're all looking at me crazy. If you're already, like, tuned out because the pastor listens to Eminem, I'll just go ahead and give you the punchline of this entire message. It's not your church, all right? Because I do. I like it. I enjoy it. All kinds of different things. Here, you probably want me to say this. You get your inspiration from a really awesome sunset, Pastor. Well, sometimes. Sometimes I do. See, a lot of times I look at God and I say, why? Why am I living in Iowa? Why do you have me here? Like, it's freezing cold in the summertime, and it's freaking hot outside right now. Like, there's got to be a happy medium somewhere. And then I have nights like the other night where I was out and I was probably complaining about something because that's what I do. And I looked behind me and the sunset was just incredible. And I'm going to give Iowa this. Like this would be my stamp on loving Iowa. The sunsets out here are amazing. Are they not? Like they're probably some of the most beautiful in our entire country are here. They're awesome. And so sometimes like a thought or an idea will hit me. A movie, a play, Walmart, all kinds of different ideas where things come from. But they ultimately wind up at the same place, the Bible. That's where I get my inspiration. The inspiration for this message, though, came a long time ago. I was at a wrestling event, and I was watching my son Jairo wrestle, and I was eating some of the best concession stand nachos I had ever had. Let's talk about nachos for a minute, because I'm a child of the 80s. This is what nachos were when they first came out. You remember these nachos? You got these at the skating rink, right? 50 cents. That's how much they cost, like 50 cents. This was it. How many of you remember these nachos? Now, you can still get them today, but not 50 cents, are they? Like $8 for this. However, over the years, nachos became a little bit more complex, a little bit more complicated, because somebody said, hey, let's take the cheese from in here. Let's put them on top of some nachos inside of a boat. And then let's add some taco meat. Let's add some meat. Let's add some olives. Let's add some tomatoes. Let's add more cheese, because you always got to have more cheese, right? Let's add more cheese. Let's add some salsa. Got to have salsa. Let's add some sour cream. Guacamole. Yes, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know you got to walk this way. I don't know. And some lettuce. That's enough. Over time, people began having more and more ideas of what nachos should be. So it went from this to this, right? That's a big difference from what we originally ate, right? Big difference between this or this. Yes or no? Chips and cheese to this. Now, this is good. This is great. And if there's stuff in here you don't like, you can just kind of pick it off and eat around it or whatever. But this is absolutely incredible. And when I started thinking about our church, I started thinking about when Jesus announced that he was going to start this thing called the church, this worldwide movement that was going to change the world. Matthew chapter 16, I preach about this a lot because it's my one of my favorite passages of the Bible. He's hanging out with his disciples, and he asks them this question. He says, who do people say that I am? And they start giving all these answers. Some say Elijah, some say this guy, some say one of the other prophets. And Jesus finally cuts through the chase, and he looks at Peter, and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, you are right. You are correct. And then he tells them, like, you didn't learn that from anybody down here on earth. My heavenly Father revealed that to you. And upon that statement, I am going to build the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it was simple. It was a simple message. He told them the way people are going to know you're a part of this movement is by the way you love one another. And they didn't sit around and say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? He said, no, no, no. How you love each other. It was chips and cheese. It was simple. However, over the past 2,000 years, chips and cheese has turned into this. We've taken rules and regulations, and we've taken culture, and we've thrown all this stuff on top of it. The foundation is the same. The message is there. Like, it's the same message of Jesus Christ. But in the church world, we've made it super complicated to follow him. And so all I want to do today, does anybody want this? I don't want to carry this around the whole time. Anybody want this? This is incredible. Anybody want this right here? Oh, Jairo wants it. There you go, buddy. That's all you, baby. Yeah, it's all over the place. It's cool. John will clean it up. So all I want to do with you today is share the vision of the church, just a 30,000-foot vision of who we are as a church. And I want to remind you all of who we're always going to be as a church and what we're always going to be about and what we are never, ever, ever, ever going to be about, and kind of let you know, for some people, this is going to be nacho church. Seriously. In other words, we're not your church, and that's absolutely okay. Nacho church. Now listen, the purpose of this message is not to start a fight. The purpose of today's message is not to start arguments or anything like that. I don't have any time for that. Like, life is too short and hell is too hot for me to play games. There are too many people dying and going to hell for me to start fights or arguments. The purpose of today's message is to share with you what we're going to be about and what we're not going to be about. And it's a high possibility that we're just nacho church. And so here are a few things to consider when it comes to Central Church. Number one, if you're looking for the perfect pastor, we're nacho church. I know, completely shocked, right? If you're looking for the perfect pastor, we're not your church. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine one time, and he said, everybody loves it when the pastor says they're not perfect until the pastor proves that he's not perfect. And I'm going to tell you all right now, I am not perfect, and I never will be. And that's not an excuse, it's just the reality. There's this passage of scripture where the Apostle Paul is writing to this young pastor that he's mentoring named Timothy, and he's listing out the qualifications of being a leader in the church. Now, there's two approaches to interpreting scripture. There's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Letter of the law is we're going to do exactly what this says, and we're not going to deviate from it at all, no matter what. Like, it says this is what we're doing. Spirit of the law says, this is the general idea. This is like the framework that we're working within. If we're going letter of the law, this passage I'm about to read to you, not only am I not qualified to lead in the church, there's not a human being on the planet that is qualified. So I want to walk through this. I want to read this, and we're going to walk through it step by step. I want you to see this for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer, now that's an elder or a pastor in a church, desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well. Now, this is letter of the law versus spirit of the law. And so I want to kind of walk through these things and let you know some things about me so that, again, nobody is shocked. And listen, I get it. This might be the message where you decide you don't want to come to Central anymore. And that's okay. But I want you to know exactly what you're getting into. All right? First thing the Apostle Paul said you need to be is above reproach. I am not. I am not above reproach. Let me go ahead and tell you. I've laughed at some jokes I probably shouldn't have laughed at. I've told a lot of jokes I probably never should have told. I've watched things on TV. I've seen movies that I probably shouldn't be watching. I've gossiped about people. I've let people gossip about people to me. And I lied at the license branch about the weight on my driver's license. That's why I use that illustration all the time. There have been times, if I'm 100% honest with you, I've completely lost my dang mind coaching high school softball, yelling at teenage girls, See, when it comes to being above reproach, I'm not that guy. You can always, always find dirt on me. And I'll bet for you, if we dig deep enough, I could find some dirt on you too. The next one, faithful to his wife. Now, if we're going to go letter of the law, spirit of the law, letter of the law, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, Jesus says, if you look at another woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in your heart already. And I don't know a man on the planet who hasn't at least given a beautiful woman a second glance. So right there, disqualified. Next one, temperate. That's not me. I'm not a temperate person. The other day, true story. I was at the grocery store. That's why I hate going to the grocery store. I was in the grocery store, 10 items or less lane. Dude in front of me had 18 items. 18! I counted. I did. I counted. And automatically I got angry at this guy. And I know some of you are super holy and you're thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Because the sign says 10 items or less and he had 18. Two nights ago, I'm driving down the road. It's late at night. There was a car in the passing lane right up next to another car. I pulled up right on their bumper, and I hit my brights, because that's what you do. You bright them, right? Eventually, they didn't get over. I just passed them on the double yellow line, and I get past, and it's just like two little old people just driving. And I know you're thinking, oh. I did not go, oh. I thought, you know what? You need to take a freaking driving test, because you shouldn't be on the road this late, and I can know how to drive. I'm not a temperate person. Let's go to the next one, because it gets better. Self-controlled. Nope, not me. This thing right here is proof that I am not self-controlled. How many of you honestly have ever gotten into a text fight? Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. When you type that thing, you're like, I shouldn't send it. I know I shouldn't send it. I shouldn't send it. I shouldn't send it. Send. Ooh, felt so good. Nothing ever gets settled in a text fight, does it? Social media wars, self-control. Out the window. It's just gone. This dude right here causes me to lose self-control. That's my idiot coonhound, Titus. He is right now on the hot tub for the 9 millionth time. Get off the hot tub, Titus! Okay. That's how he talks. Let's keep going. Respectable. No, ask around. Go to the softball field and ask. Let's go to the next one quick. Hospitable. In other passages, this word that they use right here says you love for people to come over to your house. That ain't me. I'm a private person. I don't want people at my house. I want to be able to walk around in my underwear. I know too much information for some of you, but you know what? That's why you don't come to my house, because that would get a little weird, wouldn't it? The next one, able to teach. That's debatable. Like I've been called around, maybe in here, in this room, I don't know. I've been called, I know outside of this church, I've been called a heretic. I've been called disqualified, not able to teach, because of stupid things like wearing tennis shoes and jeans and t-shirts to preach in. People ask me all the time, do you get nervous before you preach? Every single time. I'm nervous before every message. Never been an exception. This is the third time I preached this morning. Before first service, I was nervous. Before second service, I was nervous. And before this service, I was nervous. Because the Bible tells me that I will be responsible and held account for what I taught you and how I led you. So this is even in question for me. Able to teach. Let's keep rolling. Not given to drunkenness. Let's talk about this for a second, because I had a huge problem with this from the ages of 14 to 25. I also had a really strong drug addiction. And while I currently don't struggle with those things, I feel like I could be one drink or one pill away from falling right back into it. Just to let you know, I haven't been drunk in years. I don't even know the last time I had a drink or was high. And so while I have conquered this in my life for the moment, who knows what's going to happen? Because I never would have predicted that what happened happened. So while I've conquered this for the moment, this has been a part of my life. And for some people who don't enjoy the fact that maybe your pastor or church leader has a past like this, that's me. It's a part of my life. There was a time in my life where I drank way too much and got high all the time. And if that's an issue for you, that's okay. It's okay. We're just not your church. The next one, not violent, but gentle. I told you before, I won't rehash it. I don't understand. Like, I feel like I look like a big cuddly teddy bear. But I've been told like I'm just intimidating. Like I don't get it. But I have been a little violent at times. Just this past week, I almost got into a fight because some guys were stalking our recovery director, Haley, out at Swan Lake. She called me on the phone and she's like, hey, these guys are saying stuff to me and they're following me. Stay on the phone with me until I get to my car. I'm like, I ain't just going to stay on the phone with you to get your car. I'm going to head out there. And she's like, they got in their car. They're driving away. And they were driving away. And I just like cut them off. And I got out and I let them know gently, not violently, but how to politely talk to a girl. I violently, Friday night, a week ago Friday, I violently smashed drug paraphernalia that people had at my son's house and then set it on fire. Made a video and sent it to them laughing and then carried all their crap out of the house and set it in the front yard. I got some issues. I get it. I understand. The next one, not quarrelsome. A little secret about me. I love to argue with people. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this, I argue with people in my mind. You ever done that? You just argue with people in your mind? I love that because you always win in your mind. Always. Sometimes I'm a little quarrelsome. I can be a quarrelsome person. So right now, I'm like 04, however many went through on this list. Next one. Not a lover of money. Well, I don't hate it. I don't. Can we be honest? Like, in the Bible, there's this story about the rich young ruler. And Jesus comes to him and says, give up every. He says, how can a man inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, give up everything you have and follow me. And he says, I'm not going to do that. And we give him a really hard time. Like, I've never heard a message preached on that where it turns out good for him. But let me ask you this question. If Jesus came up to you and said, hey, everything you've got, give to the poor and follow me, would you do it? Now, I know there's somebody here that says, I would. It's because all you have is maxed out credit cards and car payments. Like, I'd give him that too, right? And Jesus is like, thanks a lot. This is not what I was talking about. Money. I don't hate it. I love sleeping indoors, wearing clothes, and eating food. You know what those three things take? Money! And I know this is where people say, well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, we shouldn't worry about such things. Then you give up everything you have and follow him. I kind of like having a little money in my pocket. Anybody with me on this? That's a struggle for some of us. The last one, must manage his family well. Obviously, most of you know that I just picked up my youngest from rehab. And this was stuff that was going on for years. And this is another message for another time, but for years, I had to give this to God and say, he's yours. Do something, do something, do something. Just begging God, do something to make him realize what he's doing. Do something to make him come to his senses. Do something to make him say, I don't want to live this way anymore. And I was stressed to the max. Like, it was something like covered for him, made excuses for him. There were moments of embarrassment. There were times I enabled him. I've been a bad dad, an even worse husband. The fact is, it's a reality in my life. And if you think that a pastor who has kids who struggle shouldn't be in the pulpit, shouldn't be leading a church, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. Nobody's going to argue with you. I'm not trying to prove a point. The church isn't trying to prove a point. I'm just saying this is a reality for our church, and I'm okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, that's fine. It's not your church. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be. Number two, this is not your church if you have super high expectations. Now, everything we do around here, we strive to do with excellence. But we disappoint someone every single week. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 13 says, whatever you do, work to do it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We want that. We plan for that, but we are always going to fall short. You might have the greatest spiritual experiences of your life here one Sunday morning. You might be on fire, jumping up and down, signed up to serve, running out of here, telling all your friends, inviting all your friends, and you come back next Sunday and I fall flat. You might hear the greatest music you've ever heard in a church here. And next week, it's only one guitar and Dave isn't on drums. Pastor Ryan's back there just beating away. We want for you to have super high expectations of what God is going to do in your life, but we don't want you to have high expectations of the church. Which leads to point number three. We're Nacho Church if you want the staff to do everything. I read this last week, and I love it, and I want to share it with you because it's good to keep in mind, not just for the church staff, but for overall general mental health. It's a statement about anxiety. One of the primary causes of anxiety is people trying to be who others expect them to be and do everything others expect them to do. Like, I know people in college that are in a major they hate, but they're in that major because mom and dad expected them to be in that major, and then they get to carry the debt so that mom and dad can look good in front of their friends, which is a whole other message for another time. But doing things other people expect you to do when it's not even what you're called to do. And so one of the things I'm dedicated to do in this church is I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to empower other people to do what God has called them to do. Because one of the things I've always said is a church is not effective when the staff ministers to the people, but rather when the body ministers to the body. And I believe every single person who walks in these doors that has Jesus Christ in their life has been given a gift by God through the Holy Spirit, and that gift is to be used to effectively serve others in the church. So we're going to be a church where we're seriously committed to loving one another and serving one another. It's not going to be a few people serving everybody. It's not going to be just the paid people on staff serving everybody. It's going to be all of us serving one another. And if that's not something you can get fired up with and get on board with, cool. It's probably just Nacho Church. Number four, we're Nacho Church if you hate a certain group of people. If you hate a certain group of people, we are not your church. Let me make it more real. If you hate gay people, we are not your church.
Well, Ryan, the Bible says
a lot. It says a lot. Spirit of the law, letter of the law. We talked about that. If you hate transgender people, we're not your church. And by the way, if you hate people who aren't gay, we're not your church. If you hate Democrats, we're not your church. If you hate Republicans, we're not your church. If you hate black people, we're not your church. If you hate people in recovery, we're not your church. If you hate Iowa fans, we're probably your church. But because it has its limits, right? It's got, even God said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. But seriously. If there's a certain group of people that you hate and you're going to ask our church political stance on things like that, I'm telling you, there are dozens of churches within a mile radius of this church that would probably love to do that for you. But at the end of the day, we're not going to be known for what we're against. We're going to be known for what we're for. And we're for people meeting Jesus and taking their next step and allowing him to lead them in their next step. And so if you hate a certain group of people, I'm telling you right now, we are not your church. Last but not least, we're not your church if you don't love people far from God. There's a debate that goes on in the world, especially the church world, and I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to tell you just exactly where I land. The debate is church for churched people or unchurched people? Well, this church is for unchurched people. Very, 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 very intentionally, we are going after people who are far from God. We say we'll do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. And you might say, where do you get that idea from? Well, from this amazing man named Jesus. I don't know if you know him, but he's pretty cool to hang out with. Jesus, in Luke 19, he's hanging out with Zacchaeus. Nick preached about him a few weeks ago. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 7, all these people get upset with Jesus. And the Bible says the people were displeased. And this is before Facebook and social media, so you know it was crazy if it was like that. The people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. Those are my people. Those are the people I love. Those are the people that we're doing church for. Because the people that grumbled and complained were eventually the people that killed him because they didn't recognize him. This is who we are for. You know why? Because Jesus said just a few verses later in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, that's him, he's talking about himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what we're about right there. So any of those five things, listen to me, please. Don't send us an email if you disagree with any of that because we're very secure. Like, we understand who we are and what God has called us to do. That is who we are and what we're doing. Before I end, though, I want to share with you three quick things that we are for as a church. Three things that we are for, because I want you to understand what you're getting into if this is your church. And the reason I'm saying that is because everybody says they love a church full of messy people until the messy people start showing up. And then we got to figure out what to do with the messy people. I remember years ago that somebody in the church said, we want to be a church for single moms. And then the single moms started showing up and people got upset. People said, in this church years ago, we had this vision of reaching out and being multicultural and doing all of that stuff. And honest to God, we had this discussion about going over to like Fairview Apartments and ministering and doing stuff. And people said, if black people come to this church, I'm not going to come here anymore. And I was like, then go. Seriously. Because Jesus, see, the messy people, everybody else is figuring out what to do with them. Jesus sat down and ate with them. And so this is what we're for. We're a church where you can come as you are. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you or when it happened, I never want you to feel uncomfortable walking in these doors. I remember one time talking to a friend of mine. I was working in another church, and he said, I told him, I was like, hey, man, I want you to come to church with me. And I remember him saying this. He said, I need to get my life right before I could come to church. You ever heard that? You've felt that before, right? I need to get my life right. Well, a couple things about that statement. Number one, there are some churches that you could never get your life right enough to walk into the door of that church. And number two, we're all jacked up. Every one of us. What I've seen over the years is the angriest Christians are just angry at other Christians because other Christians are committing sins they're not committing. Everybody's got junk. Everybody sins. And I've also discovered that the loudest critics, they usually have the most to hide. So at the end of the day, I want this to be a church that no matter what, you can come as you are. I don't care. Just walk in the doors as you are. Because think about this. People that were not welcome at the temple were always welcome with Jesus. The lepers, the blind, the lame, all those people were welcomed with Jesus. And after they spent time with him, they always walked away changed. And so at the end of the day, I want everybody to understand that we're going to have a church where Pastor Ryan, I'm not trying to change you, but I want to introduce you to this incredible man named Jesus who absolutely changed my life, continues to change my life to this day, and will change yours as well in his way and in his time. I want you to walk in this room. I want you to be able to come as you are.
Ryan, from what you're saying, the way you make it sound, is everybody's welcome no matter what.
I can't get nothing past you. You got it. Number two, church where you can be who you are. Where you can be exactly who you are and not have to pretend to be anything else. For years, I was a youth pastor. I loved being a youth pastor. It was great. If you've ever done youth ministry, it's the best time. But one of the things you have to learn how to do is crazy games. Now, 4th of July holiday is coming up, so I'm about to give you guys a great holiday game. If you've got some family coming in, you're going to want to play this game. But you can only do it once. You can only do it for people who haven't been in the service to listen to these messages. Because after I tell you what you do, and once you do it, nobody's ever going to play with you again. But if you got some family coming in that you don't like, this is a great game. What you do is you get a bunch of people to come up front, and you put bowls of vanilla ice cream in front of them. How many of you have ever gotten like an ice cream headache because you ate ice cream too fast? You know what I'm talking about? Got one of those things? So the contest is to see what person can eat the ice cream the fastest and kind of endure through the headache. It's really punishment. It's torturing people. But it's okay because it's youth ministry. It's in the name of Jesus. And so what you do is you get the vanilla ice cream in front of them. They put their hands behind their back, and you say go, and they start digging in. And you're just watching for the headache. Now, what nobody knows is that every other bowl is actually frozen mayonnaise. Frozen mayonnaise looks exactly like vanilla ice cream. You put a little whipped cream on that, you get Uncle Frank real good at this at the holidays, I'm telling you. And so it's funny to watch because these kids are up there and they're just throwing down. Rah, 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 rah. And after probably about 30, 40 seconds, somebody will look up and say, this tastes like mayonnaise. And they go right back at it. And then down the row, somebody else will look up and go, it is mayonnaise. And then kids will start popping up, and they're like, and then inevitably, every time, one kid throws up. In youth ministry, you get points for that. It's awesome. In big church, you can't do that, or in children's church. But in youth ministry, if you got a game that makes a kid throw up, the youth pastor gets a raise. Now, you might say, why would you talk about that? Well, the reason I would talk about that is because there are too many people walking into church today that look like vanilla ice cream. You're actually frozen mayonnaise. You're pretending to be something you're not because of the church that's trying to force you to be something that you're not. Listen, if you show up in church, I'm going to say this again. I'm not asking you to change. I'm going to tell you about a man named Jesus. And in his time, he will take you from where you are to where you need to be. That's my hope. That's my prayer. To have a church where everybody is welcome, nobody is perfect, and anything is possible. Which leads to number three. We're going to be the church where confession doesn't lead to exclusion. It's crazy in the Christian church world today. We encourage people to confess their sin. And when they do confess their sin, it's not a safe place to confess their sin. People can't come in and say, I'm struggling with an addiction. I'm struggling with a problem. I'm struggling with a mental illness. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Because as soon as you admit that you're struggling in the Christian world, they take you out. They put you on the sideline. You know what? If that's the way other churches want to approach it, I don't have any say. But I'm telling you, in this church, this is a place where if you're hurting, you can find healing. If you're hopeless, you can find hope. If you feel condemned, you can actually understand that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If you feel like you've been an outcast, you can be brought in. If you feel like a misfit, we are the fit for you. In fact, Central Church is a church for misfits, failures, and outcasts, led by misfits, failures, and outcasts. That's who we are. Because let me tell you, as I read the Gospels, Jesus hung out with and used misfits, failures, and outcasts to change the world. So at the end of the day, that's the kind of church we're going to be. Listen, today I want you to understand, if we're Nacho Church, it's okay. I'm fine with it. Praise God. Awesome. That means there's another church for you to go to and get involved in. I encourage you to find a place where you can plug in and use your gifts and talents. But if we are your church, my hope and my prayer is that you'll understand, I'm not the show in this church. This is not the Pastor Ryan show. Nobody else is the show in this church. Jesus changing lives is what this church is about. Listen to me. Jesus changing lives in his time is what this church is about. Because that's what he did in my life. That's what he continues to do for people today. And so, as you walk out of here, And you think about what it is that Jesus has called you to do, what he's gifted you with, what he's equipped you for, serving other people. The main number one thing I want you to leave with today is an understanding of Jesus has called his church to be an example of love, to love one another. Love one another, share the gospel. Love one another, share the gospel. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this thing that you started 2,000 years ago called the church. And how you've told us our main identity is in how we love one another. Help us to love others. Help us to love those who are different from us. Help us to love people who are far from you. Help us have a passion to reach out. God, I pray for the person right now that feels like at some point they've been a misfit or an outcast or pushed aside or pushed away. Jesus, that they would understand that that's not your heart. And you don't have a desire to push people away, but to draw people to you. Maybe you're here and you've had an experience somewhere in your life where you felt like you've been pushed away. And you always thought it was God pushing you away. I want you to understand that wasn't God. God always draws you to him. Maybe you've been pushed out by another church. And listen, I can't speak for them, but I can speak for this place and say that we won't do that here. Maybe today you realize you need to give your life to Jesus, that you need to surrender your life and ask him to come into your life. If that's you, and you know that's what you need to do. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so right where you sit, just in your heart or silently, or you can do it out loud, it doesn't matter. Just say this prayer. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe you did that to pay for my sin. And so today I confess my sin to you. And I ask your forgiveness. Right now, I surrender my life to you. Come in, take control. All of me for all of you. Be my Lord, be my God, be my King, and be my Savior. Thank you for dying for me, and thank you for saving me. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know. We'd love to celebrate with you.